just improvise, right?
There you go.
All right. It's good that we have people here at Versailles Baptist Church and just step in and fill in the gap, can't they? Got a lot of rope holders here. Those can just take part and help out. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles this morning and look into Ephesians chapter 1. This message is built around the Lord's Supper. Blessings of being a Christian is being a part of the family of God, isn't it? And that's our title this morning. And our scripture has to do with the blessings of redemption. And redemption means salvation, or it means deliverance from our sin. And chapter 1 of Ephesians tells us that, you know, we were chosen by God. We were justified by Jesus Christ, and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. So this morning, look with me in verse 3, and I'll read through verse 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, which is Christ, before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. And I like that, those two little words, in love. In love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved, which is Jesus Christ. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. And another way of looking at verse 7, we have deliverance, or we have salvation through his blood. That's what redemption means. The forgiveness of our transgressions, according to the riches of his grace. And if it wasn't for God's grace, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? And it's because of the riches of his grace that he forgives our transgressions, which he lavished on us. He poured it out on us, took away our sin in all wisdom and insight. When we think about forgiveness, the redemption and what we have in Christ Jesus, and he was willing to forgive us of our sin, forgiveness begins when we give up the quest to get even, right? Aren't you glad that God didn't try to get even with us and with all the sin within the world? Instead of trying to get even, he came up with a solution. He could have just zapped us all out, couldn't he? Just erased us from this earth, his own creation. And of course, we know that the flood came, and people were given 120 years to repent. You think about that, 120 years to repent. But I think 120 years is pretty short compared to how many years God has given our world to repent since then, over 2,000 years ago. And then the Bible says of his grace, the riches of his grace, that he is willing to give us redemption, our deliverance, or give us salvation from our sin. And when we look in Ephesians chapter 1 and you read that whole chapter, you know, it's not only the past he forgives us of, the present, but it's also the future. But it doesn't give us a freelance to go out and just sin and sin and sin on just because God has extended us grace. Amen? He doesn't give us that privilege. We don't have that privilege. We shouldn't even want that privilege. Because what it says, God in love. So we are to be in love with the Lord. And that goes with our lives as well. You know, if God is willing to forgive us through Jesus Christ, which Jesus Christ is a reconciliation between us and the Heavenly Father, the Bible says that we ought to forgive our enemies, even if we don't know them. I mean, we know of the world, the chaos and the evil within the world, and the things that happen, and maybe the things that has happened to us by other individuals, that even though they may not be willing to forgive, we forgive, right? We forgive one another. We forgive others. It reminds me of Dave Haggerly. He was a recreational umpire in Boulder, Colorado. And he went to all of the events, and he was umpire for the softball team. And he left one event, and he would go to another one, and he would try to get there just as fast as he could. So one day, he was driving real fast, trying to get to his next appointment, and he got pulled over. The policeman was writing him out a ticket, and he said, wait a minute. He says, you know, I'm concerned about my insurance. And he was giving him a whole list of things he was concerned about because he was going to be getting a ticket. And the policeman kindly said, you know, if you would just take this ticket to the courthouse and just explain your situation, they might be able to help you. But it's my responsibility to cite anyone who is breaking the law. A week passed. Dave Haggerly was behind the plate, and a gentleman stepped up to the plate. And he looked around, and guess who it was? It was the policeman. And he looked at Dave Haggerly, and there was a long pause. And he said, well, how did the thing go with the ticket? How did you make out? Dave Haggerly said, sir, if I was you, I'd swing at everything and come across that plate. You know, sometimes we want to get revenge, don't we? We want to pay back or get even. But the Bible says that because of God's grace, he lavished upon us. If he can forgive us of our sins, of all of our sins we committed, and we do that probably on a daily basis, don't we? Either in thought, conduct, or deed, or something, there's something in our lives that causes us to trip up. If we just think, Lord, thank you for being gracious to me, a sinner. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by grace, you are saved through grace, not of your works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should even want or even think about boasting. Because we are his workmanship, created unto good things. So, when we think of verses like that, that we are created to do good works, or do good deeds, how much more should we think about, you know, Christ, what he did for us, that we would just stop a moment and think, you know, what good deed, what good thing could I do today for someone else? What could I do now to have a forgiving heart, or look at someone else who has offended me or done me wrong, and looking from Jesus' point of view, if whether or not they forgive, we can have a forgiving heart, right? what the Bible says. Now, because in our hearts, you know, usually what's in our heart is going to come out eventually, right? If it's good things in our heart, it's going to come out. If it's hateful or hurtful things, or things that, you know, shouldn't be in our heart, eventually it's going to slip out, or it will get out. And what's in our heart sometimes tells us who we really are down deep inside. So forgiveness, redemption, deliverance from sin has cleansed us from our past, our present, and our future. And when we think about what God has done for us, how much more should we be willing to say, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. See, the work of salvation is the work of God, whereby he delivers us from the penalty of sin, and through Jesus and his death on the cross, awards us with eternal life. How often do we think about eternal things? How often do we think about it on a daily basis? Do we think about it just when we read scripture? Or do we think about eternal things just when there's deprivation in our lives, or troubles, or conflicts, or things like that, sickness? It doesn't really matter what happens in our life. If we know that we have a Christian, and we have been cleansed, we do have deliverance, we do have salvation, to the reward that we have as Christians because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of these days, we're going to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say to him personally, thank you. Thank you. And when we take communion together, it's to remind us of Jesus, is one of these days he will come back. It's to remind us of what he has done, what he does actually in our life every day. His forgiveness. See, that's the blessings of being a Christian, is being forgiven. I don't know how many times, you know, over the years, when I think about, you know, our lives and how God has orchestrated our lives, and how he has orchestrated the church to be an organism to work with him and for him, and him working through us. The blessings that the scripture is talking about here, that he, well, let's go back there, and I want to read the verse three again. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You see, every spiritual blessings, you know, sometimes, you know, I hear people say, well, I've been blessed with all of these things. And sometimes when they say all of these things, you know what you're saying, or what we say? It's all the material things, or the physical things in life. But the Bible is speaking about those spiritual blessings. The spiritual things is what God has done through us, through the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. So the spiritual blessing that we receive in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus is poured down. You know, he has all the resources in the world for us to have when it comes to the spiritual things in life. And part of those spiritual things are the fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about the love and the joy and the peace and the love that he's talking about here in love, but you've got faithfulness and you've got kindness and you and the self-control, all of these fruit of the Spirit. See, those are the spiritual blessings that you and I have because we are a child of God. Now, how do we implement those in our lives? How do we apply those to our lives? Well, first of all, you take each one of those and you do an evaluation of your own life and you say, How does my love reflect how I feel about the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, we need to say, okay, what does Jesus really mean to me? Well, we mean quite a bit to the Lord because He created us. And the Bible says that we are created in His image. So if we're created in His image, that means that we are to think just like Him, right? We're to think like Him. We are to act like Him. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, you know, you follow me because I'm following Christ Jesus. And he would say, I haven't always done that. Because I was kind of like a renegade. I was just out of control. And I was going my own way, doing the things that I thought was in the name of the Father, God. But then I realized when Jesus stopped me on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, why are you doing these things? And then Paul, at that moment, the instinct, the spiritual instinct that Christ put into Paul's thinking at that moment, he realized, this is wrong. This is wrong. So when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, see, Christ loved Paul so much that he spared him that day, right? You know, God can... If he can speak this world into existence, he can speak us out of existence, can't he? He can speak nations out of existence by just speaking his word. That's why the Bible says, sharper than a two-edged sword. See, God, all he had to do is just speak this world into existence. Whether it was 7 days, as we know it, 24-hour period, I believe that God, he could do it that way, or however God chose to do it. But he does everything in love. So when I think about the fruit of the Spirit and the spiritual blessings of which he's talking about, those are the things that we need to evaluate in our lives and say, how am I doing these? Who is Christ Jesus? What does he mean to me? Am I really in love with him? Because the scripture says in love. See, Jesus is in love with us. The agape love, the Greek word for love is agape, which means a love that the Father has for us. He has that we should have for Him. So we are to be in love. And the joy, because we have love, we're going to be excited. If we're in love with the Lord and we know He's in love with us and we love one another, you see, that should bring joy in our life. Realizing that, okay, I love, I have joy, I want to be faithful in everything that I do for the Lord, I want to be kind, I want to be trustworthy, I want to be honorable. And with all of these things, I have self-control over those 8 fruit of the Spirit. You see, that's the last one. So, we don't need to be controlling those things as much as we need to allow God to control our lives as we live our life and allow Him to live through us. So this morning, I want us to think about the blessings it means to be a Christian. I don't know, Charlie Brown, I don't know if you ever read some of these cartoons and so forth, but there's one I read some time ago, and it was Lucy and Charlie Brown. They was outside, and she for some time she'd been holding the football for Charlie Charlie Brown to kick. And each time he got ready and he was coming full force and ready to kick that football, she would pick it up. He'd fall flat on his back. She'd do this over and over and over to the point that Charlie Brown said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then Charlie Brown looking at Lucy and saying, well, you know, Lucy said, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. She said, I don't know what's in me, what makes me do this. but I apologized. She started crying, tearing up and everything. And Charlie Brown, he began to feel sorry too. He said, okay, that's fine. I forgive you. So Lucy said, okay, let's do it again. She gets the ball, she holds it up, and Charlie backs up, and here it comes, and she pulls it up, and he falls. And she said, you know, Charlie Brown, you know, sometimes, you know, a person just has to make a choice if they want to do what's right and what's wrong. That's what we have to do in life, isn't it? We have to decide if we want to do what's right and what we're going to do right. And I'm thankful that God chose to do what was right for His creation. And He involved us in that. That He provided salvation. He provided a way out for us. It's not like He jerks anything away from our path. When He promises anything in life, He follows through with it, doesn't He? We don't have to worry about if He's going to trick us up or do anything to harm us or bring shame to us. You see, He went to the cross. He bore all the shame. He bore all the shame of this world. And that's what the Bible says is grace. You see, because He always has us in His best interest. And I pray today that when we take the Lord's Supper together, that we'll bear in mind the bread and the cup symbolizes the love that He brings into this world. The sinner, you and me, we're sinners. But as Christians, we're saved sinners. But it didn't give us the freedom to go and do what we want to do. In return, we love Him back. We love one another. And we forgive one another as He forgive us. We forgive our enemies. And all of those that we haven't even met, that we know need the Lord Jesus Christ, they need to know our Savior as we know Him. Amen? They need to know Him too. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for this time that we get to reflect from Your scriptures, to glean from Your precious word. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword that can divide, and cut asunder anything, any barrier, any wall that might be between us and You. Lord, thank You that we're able to take this communion this morning that symbolizes Your shed blood, Your body that was bruised because of our sin. Lord, we are an example, a reflection of what You do in our life each day as we go out into the world. And help us to be a true reflection, a true light to Your glory. Thank You for the promise and the covenant You made with us, that if we trust You and surrender our heart and life to You, repent of our sin, that we'll have eternal life. If there's anyone here today that wants to be a part of this church, may they too come forward and let us show our love and let us show our appreciation for them being willing to listen to You and Your call in their life to be a part of your kingdom, a part of this church, this fellowship, which is so wonderful, which is so great, because we live out the truths that You teach us in Your word. We praise You and we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 200, no, I'm sorry.